and we are back. Join us on Facebook, crsradio.com, and you are listening to Maurice Harrison, and this is the Jamaica South Coast Show. I'm broadcasting live from Alligator Pond, Manchester, in Jamaica. And folks, those of you that are on my timeline and on crsradio.com, you can see that I'm also on Facebook Live tonight. And you see this background right here, that is Sea Rib Guest House Bar and Grill in Manchester, Alligator Pond, by the river. Folks, this is an establishment that as of July 1st, yours truly, Maurice Harrison, will be running and operating with a partner. And this is part of the eco-community tourism thing that we've been talking about all these weeks. So I'm broadcasting live from my bar tonight because we actually stocked it. If you look behind me, you can see my shelf here. I got my cooler. And yes, red stripe full in there. And I pay for my own red stripe, okay? But tonight, we're going to be talking about the Jamaica South Coast. We're going to be talking about eco-community tourism. We're going to be talking about, thanks, Dr. A, big Mr. Alligator Fund. Where are the alligators? How many times am I supposed to tell you, Dr. E, there's no alligators in Alligator Fund? There, and I'll explain that Alligator Fund story to you in a little bit tonight, because I need to get that clear once and for all. Okay? So, folks, tonight on this show, you want to talk to me live? Write the number down. Or look at the Facebook Live production here. It tells you. It is 661-467-2407. This is a Caribbean radio show. CRSradio.com on Facebook. And we are the Knowledge Station. Good thing for you guys is that you can have somebody reporting here live from Jamaica, on the ground in Jamaica, telling you what's going on, what is happening around us, how is it affecting us. And tonight's show, what we're going to be talking about for the most part is a couple of things. We're going to talk about COVID-19 and how it has affected the eco community tourism, the opening up of Jamaica in the restricted way that it was opened, and the statistics and the fear factor surrounding the opening. Because that's understood that there's a lot of people that are afraid of what's going on, and we're going to talk about that somewhat. Question that I have, though, and I'm welcoming people to call in tonight and challenge me on these questions. Number one, are Jamaica's figures really accurate? Number two, what impact is the way the data is being collected affecting decisions made by our government? Number three, are there truly positive cases in most areas of Jamaica because it is zero? Or because there is zero testing being done in these areas? Number four, the move to open up the North Corridor from Negril to Port Antonio, was it a wise decision, and why is the South Coast excluded? We will cover these tonight, folks, so I'm asking you to join me, 661-467-2407, or go to crsradio.com, look for the link, click on the link, and join the show there. Okay? So, we're going to get started here tonight, okay? And we're going to start because it's only 90 minutes, and believe me, that 90 minutes goes fast. So I'm Maurice Harrison. This is Jamaica South Coast Show. I'm reporting to you live from Alligator Pond this week, not from my room, but from downstairs in the bar, which is Sea Rip Bar. That's a property that I've taken control of as of July 1st. And it's all in line with eco-community tourism to keep sustainability to the community so that the community benefits from tourism rather than overseas companies and big resorts and so on and so forth. So right into the show tonight, let's talk a little bit about the statistics that have been coming, okay, and some of the restrictions that are going on. And these figures may be a little bit different right now. As of now, we're showing like 626, maybe a little bit more, but we had new cases in the last 24 hours. So what happens is this, is that a lot of people are focusing on the new cases, where they're coming from, rather than the recoveries and some of the other things that I'm going to talk about tonight that people focus on rather than, you know, what really should be. So the other thing that I'd like to talk about tonight is the guidelines for the reopening of beaches and rivers, okay? And we're going to be talking about that sometime tonight during the show. And, you know, there's a couple other things that the government has announced that we're going to be talking about. Well, one of the biggest topics of discussion in the country today has been since the government opened up the borders for our returning Jamaicans and visitors to visit Jamaica, what we are getting is we're getting a lot of situations where people are talking about how much more cases there are, positive cases there are in Jamaica since we're starting to open up the area. Okay? Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you for Happy Father's Day. I'm on the air right now, so join me on the air, okay? And by the way, yes, Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there today. And, you know, great fathers. And by Alligator Pond River today, we were rampacked with families to see the fathers and their children out there in the river and the sea and to know that we have our open beaches. Police didn't have to lock us down. Everything went well. People maintained their social distancing. The families were together, and there was so much fun to be had here today. It was such an experience, and people really had a great time. Back to the show itself and what I was talking about before. Happy Father's Day to everybody. Now, what we are talking about is the fact that people have been coming out and said, well, see that now that we opened up Jamaica, all of a sudden we have these rising cases, so much more cases, so much more people infected with Corona, COVID-19 coming into the country. Think about this, folks. The only reason that there is this many positive cases being found today is because everybody coming into Jamaica right now is being 100% tested. So, back when I used to work for IBM, we had what's called AQL. What AQL is acceptable quality level. I work for suppliers, quality assurance engineering. So what I did is when a vendor shipped parts to IBM for manufacturing for assembly, I would inspect the parts and make sure that they're coming in with zero defects. How we use the measure to make sure they're coming in with zero defects is this. If we had 50,000 screws coming in, do you think that yours truly would be inspecting 50,000 screws? No. We had an acceptable quality level. So we would take a sample of 100 and we would inspect the 100. If we found 3 defects in the 100, then we would increase our sample. What does this have to do with COVID-19 and the testing? Well, let's look at the testing that's being done. We have over 20,000 tests that have been done in Jamaica. What is the population of Jamaica, folks? You tell me. 3.something million, right? We're testing 20,000 people. We're coming back and we're saying we have 626 positive. And we're saying 24 of these positives are from people that's coming in from the USA or wherever. Guess what? The only reason that it is that way is because those are the only people we're testing. I live here in Alligator Pond, Manchester. And I can tell you, even today, Father's Day, what I saw on the river today, the river was ram-packed. So, and this is nothing new. This has been that way from the COVID-19 restrictions has been put into place. Now, do you know what the amount of positive cases are in Alligator Pond, Manchester? Anybody want to give me a guess? I'm waiting, folks. Anybody want to give me a guess? Zero. Zero cases. Does that necessarily mean that we've had zero cases in Alligator Pond? No, it doesn't. Because if you take what I've been saying over the last few weeks, 8 out of every 10 people that came into Alligator Pond today did not come from Alligator Pond. They came from outside of Alligator Pond, from areas where there are positive cases. Why am I making this point? The point that I'm making is this, folks, simply this. Because there has been no testing, we have zero cases. So if you test 20,000 people, of course you're going to get 626 positives. But if you tested 1 million people, you're going to get about 100,000 positives. Is that a bad thing? No, it is not a bad thing. Because if you take and you look at the true statistic as to what you should really look at, it is how many people are actually showing up at hospitals or doctors with symptoms of COVID-19? Because you know that if people are showing up at the doctors or the hospitals with symptoms of COVID-19, the doctors and hospitals will be forced to do a test. Am I right or wrong? So, because nobody is actually showing up, that does not necessarily mean that there wasn't any positive cases. What it means is that the cases are asymptomatic, meaning I got the virus, I could have gotten it. I didn't have any symptoms, and I recovered from it, and I'm enjoying my red stripe and going to the beach and hanging out and doing everything that I would normally do. So far, am I making any sense you are with what I'm saying? So if I'm making sense to you, then what you need to understand is that, let me go to my next step, which is this. If no one is showing up at the hospital and no one is showing up at doctors to force testing and to force contact tracing testing, that must mean that in the area of Jamaica that I live right now, and along the south coast where Stephanie lives, okay, thank you for joining me, Stephanie, we have zero cases, which means that even if we have been positive, which I'm sure a lot of us have been, but we just weren't tested, we have recovered from it. And don't forget, the recovery rate in Jamaica is upwards of 74% right now. So do not be alarmed by the amount of positive cases that we're getting from people that are coming in from the United States, Canada, England, or wherever they're coming from. The only reason, folks, that we have that many positive cases is because they're being 100% tested. That is expected, folks. We are testing, and I'm not going to say that I blame the Prime Minister or the administration for testing. I will question, as Andrea would tell you, how they do it and the pain that they put people through and the inconvenience that they put people through. But I will not contest the testing, because at least it gives us an idea of where positive tests are. Okay? Which takes me to the other part of my topic, which is, what impact is the way the data being collected affecting decisions being made? Why am I questioning that? Is a couple of reasons. Number one, the government went ahead and they opened up the tourism sector on a corridor along the North Coast, specific corridor along the North Coast. My question is this. If we are opening up that corridor on the North Coast, what was the basis for the decision of this government to exclude us over here on the South Coast from opening up? The government did not even give us a chance to prove that we are capable of managing guests. But they just readily opened up a corridor from Negril to Port Antonio, which, by the way, folks, excluded most of the people that rely on eco-community tourism for an income. So that lends me to start to wonder, who are we really benefiting from the opening up of these areas? Are people like Anne-Marie, Durrani here, Misty over in Negril, Colette, Sandra's place, are they going to benefit from this opening up? Those folks are the real people of Jamaica. Those folks depend on tourism dollars to be able to continue their lifestyle, to send their children to school, to help build their communities. The narrow corridor that the Prime Minister opened up doesn't say to me that it's protecting us from COVID-19. What it says to me is that I have a special set of people that I'm going to allow to do business in Jamaica, expose the workers to the visitors who we claim are bringing the COVID-19 into the country. But we're going to suit them well. What is the difference between them and us over here on the South Coast and the eco-community tourism advocates? Why is Wyeth Falls still closed? Why is Lover's Leap still closed? Why can't we open up Alligator Pond, guest houses, Chocolate Village over here in Junction, up in Southfield, Jake's? Why can't we open them up? What criteria did the government use? Okay, and that is the topic. The data that is being collected that affecting the decisions made, I question that data as I did earlier in the show, because the data is only about who's being tested. Over here in Alligator Pond, we may not be tested, but we don't have any problems. 16% of the hospital beds allotted for COVID-19 is taken right now. We've had only two deaths. One death is more than enough, but we've had two deaths in Jamaica. we only have two people in ICU, or I think 10 deaths in Jamaica, I'm sorry. Two people in ICU, and 74% have recovered already from this virus of those that tested positive. Not those of us who, by the way, yours truly, Maurice Harrison, right here on the Jamaica South Coast show, could have actually had the virus and didn't even know that I had the virus. Didn't have a symptom, recovered from it. I'm almost sure that if they tested me right now, they're going to find antibodies. Because the lifestyle that I live and the people that I'm around, I'm sure if COVID-19 was as bad as they say it is right now, I should have had it and recovered from it because I'm doing just fine drinking my Reds right here. So that's why I'm saying the impact of the way the data is being collected is affecting the decisions made. Because the government takes the data and then they make a decision as to what they're going to open up, how they're going to open up. At Three Rivers Bar here, we can't have any live entertainment right now. If you look at this bar and how big this area is, and the beach and the outside, there's no problem for us to be able to have a live band here and maintain the distancing. Because guess what? If you go to a Western Union office or a bank today, or an Alarico call center, or any workplace today, they are more gathered than we would ever be here, even if we had a special event of that nature. So from that point of view, I call on the Prime Minister of Jamaica and the officials and the cabinet to open up our entertainment. August is coming. We have independence coming. I can see that the Prime Minister is getting ready to call an election. But let me tell you something, Mr. Prime Minister. Before you call that election, make sure that you consider that we over here and a lot of Jamaicans are suffering right now because we can't open up entertainment and other activities. But yet, there's areas on the North Coast that can open up. And if by your data, and if your data is correct, they're going to expose the workers that are around COVID-19. So if you can expose our workers in Jamaica to COVID-19, in the North Corridor, then tell you what, you can do it over here on the South Coast though. That is the point that I'm making about how and what the impact is, the way the data being collected is affecting the decisions being made. So are we making bad decisions? Are we making decisions to market or target a certain group of people that we want? Because when I go, like I was in the Grill and on the North Coast last weekend, the type of activity that I see there is no different from the activity over here on the South Coast. So what makes it so different? That's the Jamaica South Coast show. For those of you who have been listening so far and have a question, concern, or would like to show me something that you may not think that I may be on the right track, call in 661-467-2407. Press 1 on your phone. You're listening to CRSradio.com on Facebook. It's Caribbean Radio Show. We are the knowledge station. We try to bring an unbiased, impartial point of view. And I'm not partial in my point of view. I'm just trying to logically ask the question. If you have an answer that's different from what I portrayed tonight, I welcome you to call me and say, Maurice, you know what? I hear you, but some of what you're saying, let me put it to you another way. And I'm willing to listen to you. But right now, I'm not seeing anybody calling you. I would love to see you guys calling, okay? Thank you, Stephanie. Drop by whenever you can, darling. I'd love to see some people calling. Okay, to at least state either opposing or join me. And I can see we do have a call on right now, and I'm going to go take this call and then I'm going to come to the next topic. Okay, it's from 540-353, 540-353. Good evening, caller. Thank you for joining me on the show tonight. How are you tonight?
I am very well, sir. I would like to find out why there is no alligator in Alligator Pond.
Oh, God. You and this alligator pond question. Folks, let's put this alligator pond question to a rest. First and foremost, there's no alligators in Jamaica, period. If you want to see an alligator, you have to go to the zoo. That's the only place in Jamaica you're going to see an alligator. Now, caller, what I'd like to do is to invite you to come visit us here in Alligator Pond. Because if you come by the seaside in Alligator Pond and you look out towards Clarendon, there's a hill that comes down from Mandeville, Rose Hill, Cross Keys, Newport, Cloudon, and then it goes down into the sea. But if you look at the wedge shape, it looks like the head of an alligator.
Oh.
And that's how I have been told Alligator Pond was made.
Wow. Oh, okay. Negative answer. This is another maybe a more serious question. I am an avid listener of your program, and I'm just so delighted to hear you every week giving an account of what's going on with the COVID, and really proud to hear that Jamaica is really doing as great as they are in terms of the control. I know last time you mentioned that the beach were not open for, you know, on that side of the island. And now that things seem to be, you have tourists coming back in. Since Jamaica has things under control and tourists are coming back into Jamaica, these are tourists that are going to be coming from possibly the United States, which is really on the uprise in at least 28 states with this virus. People are trying to get away. People are not conscionable to know that, hey, I may be taking a virus to a country that's not developed to handle or don't have the resources to handle these cases if you have an outbreak. How is the Jamaican government, if you know, sir, is planning to deal with this influx of tourists and to find out how they would be quarantined or just letting into the society because they are tourists?
Okay. Let me first of all go back to what you first said about the beaches. Beaches are open in Jamaica with restrictions. All beaches and rivers are now open. It's on a trial basis, and as a matter of fact, Social Development Commission was here on site here in Alligator Pond today doing a survey as to how people are handling the beaches, and they're going to report back again. This is all over Jamaica to the government, who's going to make a decision whether they're going to extend the opening of the beaches and maybe relax some of the rules, but beaches are open. The problem that I was mentioning is not beaches not being open, but if you have a guest house or a hotel on the South Coast and you're coming in as a visitor, you're not really allowed to go to those hotels. So let me clear that up first and foremost. Now, to answer the other part of your question, which is how is the government going to be able to handle the people coming in from the United States of America, and as you know, we've had about 24 to 25 new cases, of which all of them are from people coming in from the United States of America. What you need to understand, though, is that of the 9,000 people that came in last week, 99% of them came in from America, so they're being tested. Now, bear in mind that most of these guys have already been tested, okay? And some may not have been tested, and they're now testing positive. The real question is this, is how serious is it of them being tested positive? Is it really and truly going to affect Jamaica and create a new epicenter? My position is, and this is my position, this is not necessarily the way it is, but I'm just going based on being here on the ground in Jamaica, seeing what's happening in Jamaica, my position is that there is nothing to be alarmed about, even with these new cases. Why is that? The reason I say that, caller, is the fact is, in Alligator-upon-Manchester, here where I live, in Great Bay, Treasure Beach, where I was 2 weeks ago, and in Negril, Westmoreland, where I was just last weekend, I see everything that's going on. People are together, okay? Yes, there's some masks, but as the time has gone on, for example, when I was on this show a few weeks ago, the fact is everybody in Mandeville was pretty much wearing masks, and about 80% of the people in Junction was wearing masks. Here in Alligator-upon, maybe 10% if we're lucky. But this is 3-4 months ago. Now, if you look at these areas that I just mentioned, a lot of people that come into these areas are coming from areas that already have infections, including where the biggest epicenter in Jamaica was, which is Alarico, a call center. Now, the government opened up the call centers. Now, if the biggest epicenter in Jamaica came from one call center, we can open up the call center. What's the problem with opening up everywhere else? That's my question. Now, to answer your question, caller, the positive cases that they're finding right now, to me, if you take 9,000 people and you test them coming from other countries and you get 25 positive cases, that's no different from here in Alligator-upon, that if you took 9,000 people and tested 9,000 people here in Alligator-upon, you're going to come up with the same 25 positive cases right now. Yes, we have 0 people in the hospital, and we have 0 people going to the doctor for COVID-19. I don't know if that gets across to you the point that I'm trying to make. So I really and truly do not think that the government needs to. The government is doing these tests to be able to track just in case we get an epicenter form. There's nothing the government is going to be able to do to stop it. The 24 cases or 25 cases that they just found, how many of them are hospitalized? 0. How many of them are going to quarantine government facilities? 0. They're going to be self-quarantined at their home. If it was such a risk, the Andrew Holness administration with Minister of Health Christopher Tufton would not allow them to go and be quarantined. Question about that is this. Okay, I come in on a flight from the United States today. There's 300 people on that flight. 2 people test positive from that flight. You're going to tell me that you're not, if you really and truly think that this is as serious as you're trying to make it look, you want to tell me those 298 people should not be quarantined? Do you understand what I'm saying, caller?
Caller? Yes, I definitely understand what you're saying. I absolutely understand what you're saying. But how are we really... If we have really a health burst in Jamaica, and I know that the government is really doing their best to monitor things and keep things under control, but can Jamaica really handle a real health burst like you have, say, in New York? How would we be able to do that? Well,
proportionately, Jamaica had that outburst in St. Catherine. Remember, despite all the cases that we have here in Jamaica, only 16% of our hospital beds are taken for COVID-19 cases. And those are not critical. We only have 2 people in ICU. So the real question is this, is how is COVID-19 really affecting Jamaicans and Jamaica, even those that have contracted the diseases? I am telling you right now from what I'm seeing here in Jamaica that there's no way the 626 cases is an accurate figure. There's more in the thousands and thousands. without the 24 new cases that we found. To me, if we were to test every Jamaican right now, it would be as Minister of Health Christopher Tufton suggested, about 70 to 80% of us Jamaicans here in Jamaica are going to get the COVID-19, whether it's from somebody from New York or not, because once it's here, we're going to get it. The real question is, how is it burdening the healthcare system? I do agree with the government that we should know of any new positive if we can test them. What I disagree with is that they're using that data to make their decisions as to what they were going to do next. Because if you take the real data, yes, caller.
It seems like there is something unique going on in Jamaica. If you're saying that there is a possibility that there are 1,000 more that had the virus, and I'm not doubting that at all, then the recovery rate is so high. Those that died, it is just about 10, as you say, if these statistics are correct. And even if they're incorrect, they can't be far off. So is there something in the Jamaican community that's in them, or is this a different strain of the virus that we're seeing that is not as aggressive as that which we're seeing in New York?
Well, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical scientist, but I can just go based on my background in statistics and probability. And based on what I'm seeing, I will agree that most of us here in Jamaica have a much better immune system than the rest of the world because of how we eat. Our lifestyle is less stressful. So, Aaron Alligator Pond, it is my personal belief that being by the sea and the salt air, that we actually are in a much better position, because I honestly, based on my experience with respiratory diseases, taking care of my mom, salt, respiratory diseases does not react very well with salt. So from that point of view, I would say us as Jamaicans, we do have a much better immune system than the rest of the world. Now, as far as New York is concerned, I can also tell you that if you were to go upstate New York, to Poughkeepsie, Hyde Park, Hammondsport, Utica, you're not going to find many cases up there. You're going to find the cases in Bronx, Manhattan, Brooklyn. Okay? So here again, Jamaica, most of our cases are where? St. Catherine, Kingston, St. Andrew, the populated areas. I think proportionately, if we were to look at it, proportionately, we're probably not that much better statistic-wise than even New York. If you take the population of New York and you take where it's happening and you put it across the entire state, you'll probably find geographically we're not that further off than New York is. But I will admit that here in Jamaica, we do have a much better immune system. We eat better and we are less stressed. Here in Alligator Pond, we had about 11 deaths in the last 2 weeks. None of those deaths were from COVID-19. Okay? 11 deaths in the last 2 weeks, and not a one was from COVID-19. I went to a setup and a funeral, had another funeral yesterday. Here in Alligator Pond. Okay, so it is a question of, and caller, what you're leading to was the fact that maybe, just maybe, we do have a better situation here in Jamaica, surrounded by salt water, the wind, the type of food we eat, our nutritional basis in Jamaica is a lot better. And if you find, even in Jamaica, where we're eating the junk food and the nutrition is not as good, are the areas in which we have a higher rate. I don't know if that answers your question, does it? Caller? I don't know if we still have the caller on the line. Caller, are you still with me? Oops, caller dropped off. Well, thank you for that, and I hope you all heard what I just said. And just to answer a couple of questions, Pauline Sims says true. Andrea Pierre Flores, only that you know of, yes. And Andrew was talking about, you know, in alligator pond, we only have crocodiles. We do not have any alligators. If the caller that was with me just now, if you, okay, she's back on the line. If you want to answer my questions or concerns, or if I have not answered all of your concerns, please let me know. Let me look through and see what's going on out there. Pauline, thanks for joining me. Andrea, thank you for joining me. And folks, I'd just like to tell you an experience that someone had, and I'm going to leave that person being anonymous. As a returning resident coming here to Jamaica, she came in last Friday night, and I met with her on Saturday at her home. We kept our social distances, and she stood by the rules and everything. But she had her test done before she left Florida. She was negative. She filled out all of her COVID-19 requirements that Jamaican government asked for. When she came in, she went through the same situation that she did to get the COVID-19 clearance. Not only that, but the way they did the test was extremely painful. And at the end of the day, they sent her home with a bag of chips and a very small bottle of water from Kingston to Mandeville. She was not allowed to stop because of the app on her phone or whatever, it would know that she stopped. Now, this is somebody that has tested negative. And yes, people say, well, yeah, but they can test negative 2 days and 3 days later, they're positive. Same difference. You land in Kingston, you get tested, guess what? 2 days later, you can be positive. The real question is, what is the effectiveness of the test to stop this spread? Jamaica is in a good situation because we don't have anybody going to the hospitals or the doctors. Okay? Point that I've been making here is this, is I understood the caution at the start and the onset of COVID-19. My problem is 4 months into this COVID-19, we are not actually seeing a major catastrophe here in Jamaica. And it's not because we're not allowing people in, because there are people here that already has it, that we have been around, and it's still not affecting us, and it's not overburdening our hospitals, it's not damaging it. What is damaging us right now is our economic fallout. We here on the South Coast complied with the rules for the most part. Well, so for the most part, okay? But we're still a people that needs to somehow paid our bills and provide for our family. So what we can't understand is, why is it that the all-inclusives and this special corridor is opening up while the eco-community tourism sector of the country, attractions, bus drivers, route taxi drivers, cook shops, food stands, the beaches, we cannot benefit from this opening up. Why? You're exposing us to the visitors, but you're telling us at the same time that, guess what? Only a certain set of people can enjoy the return of visitors. What is it that makes them any different from us? I have my sanitizing station right here. Jake's has it. All the bars and restaurants and everything right here in Alligator Pond has it. There's a temperature check every time you go to Shopper's Fair. What makes us any different from the rest of this country that they're opening up right now? And if anybody have an answer to that or want to challenge that, 661-467-2407. The caller that just called made some very important points, and I'm hoping that I answered the question. Okay? which leads me to topic number four, and that is the move to open up the North Corridor from Negril to Port Antonio. Was it a wise decision, and why is the South Coast excluded? Was it a wise decision? Yes. We need to open up the economy now that we realize that, look, if there is an outbreak, we can contain it, just like we did in Port Antonio or Portland when it happened over there, and just like we did in St. Catherine. There's only going to be about 15 to 20%, if that, of the potential of an outbreak. So why are you allowing that 10%, which is what I think is more of a true figure, to affect the ability for 90% of our people to earn a living and make some money and not be threatened? Nobody has yet been able to answer that question. And that is the question that I'm bringing out to you. And I ask you all that's listening out here tonight, and I know hundreds, maybe thousands of you are going to be listening by the end of this week with a replay. Appeal to the Prime Minister of Jamaica and appeal to the Minister of Health. It's very easy to do that, folks. Google it. Or it's OPM, Office of the Prime Minister, Jamaica. Go to the website and go to the contact us and send them an email. Because we have independence coming up in August, and right now we don't want to be locked down for independence, because right now, based on how everything is going, we honestly, if you look at what was happening when this started with the mask and the social distances, which, guess what, some of the establishments that the government allowed to stay open never observed it, like Western Union. But as we go on and we're being stressed out about this right now, less and less of us are wearing masks. I'm going to tell you point blank, I only wear a mask where I have to. I don't wear it anymore. Only if I have to. If I go to Shoppers Fair, they're not going to let me in without a mask. So I put the mask on. Okay? That's the way it is, folks. So what I'm asking you all to do is to think about the logic of what I'm saying. So the move to open up the North Corridor, I don't disagree with that move. What I don't understand, though, is what is it that made them exclude us here on the South Coast and the rest of the country? Why are we not allowed to be opened up with certain restrictions like social distancing? In this bar that I'm reporting to you from right now, which is yours truly, okay, we have tons of square footage. We wash down the counters after almost every customer with bleach. We have tables that we can set up outside in an open air that people can sit in. What is preventing us from being open to the tourists and even to bar customers, because there are certain restrictions on bar customers? But at the same token, we have 9,000 tourists that came into Jamaica last week. But they were only allowed to go to in these exclusive places, which, by the way, is owned by a special set of people, and I'm not going to call those names on the air here tonight. Okay? Those are the issues that I wanted to cover here tonight, and I'm appealing to everyone out there to either call in. I see a call in from 804. You would like to ask a question, press 1 on your phone. Remember, if you dial 661-467-2407, if you want to speak to me, you have to press 1 on your phone. That's the only way I'll know that you want to speak to me. Otherwise, I'm going to think that you're just listening to the show. So I have a call that's coming in. I'm going to take that call. And this call is coming from 804-972. Hey, good night. Thank you for joining the show. How are you tonight?
Mars, good evening, Charles Bowles. So I know you got lots of calls, so I'm just trying to make this as efficient as possible. So here's what I want your comments on. I want to hear your thoughts on why Jamaica has been so low in the death rate. So I'm asking you, about the average age of the population compared to other countries. So do we have a lower average age? Do we have younger people, obesity rates, and then other health things like diabetes and so forth, like those kinds of things? Are we doing better at that? So that's what I'm asking you.
Okay, well, I can only comment on that based on what I believe. I'm not a medical doctor, and I will preface this by saying it. I can only believe that from the previous caller suggested that part of it is we eat healthier in Jamaica, our immune systems are better in Jamaica, we're more resistant to things in Jamaica, and we are not as congested. So basically speaking, the spread, and we are very protective of the vulnerable. The vulnerable society in Jamaica is who are most likely to get this COVID-19. People who are healthy are not going to get it. And by lifestyle, Jamaicans on a whole, and we are a much healthier society than most of the world. We're a lot less stressed than the rest of the world, no matter what people may think when they come here and people say, hey, I don't have any money. The fact is we still have less stress. We eat more nutritiously. And if you look at the Jamaican statistics, the highest rates are in a congested area where we become more westernized and not eating like we here eat an alligator bun. We eat the fish straight from the sea. We have fresh produce. You know, I would credit it as a nutritionist and understand nutrition to that. In saying that, you know, we have 626 positives and we have only two people in the ICU. I can only say that, basically speaking, it's either one of two things. Either one, where we have a high immune system, or two, COVID-19 is not as we make it looks to be. And I'm not so sure that if we take the other areas in which there is a high rate of death, if we take it and we put that against your population, I'm not so sure that they're going to have much of a higher percentage than we do. I know we're low, but we're not the only country that's low in percentage. But a lot of it has to do, too, sir, with the way the Jamaican government handled this on the onset. The Jamaican government did a really...
I agree. They're a good job.
Yeah, they did a great job. I mean, they did an excellent job handling
so,
this at the onset.
So I'm just interested in why certain countries have done extremely well. Germany has done a fantastic job. Taiwan has done a fantastic job, even though it has connections with China. So that's why I asked. So I asked some questions. I mean, like the trust in the government plays a role. The discipline of people who live in the country plays a role. So I'm just throwing that out for the listeners to think about that. So you could have a very urbanized country like Germany that has done a fantastic job. You could have a country like Taiwan that has a lot of connections with China, like travel has done a fantastic job. So I'm just interested. So to me, I agree with you. I think you would agree with me that Jamaica really has a very low rate of death, right?
Oh, yeah. We're adults.
They ask me, like, what is it about Jamaica? Why is Jamaica so low? So I know you've answered it about the debt and so forth. So I'm just fascinated by that. Why certain countries have done so well, why others have not?
I think because the others that have not have a lot of pre-existing conditions which COVID-19 takes advantage of.
Yeah.
The United States of America, for example, there's no ends of people that's got heart diseases, asthma, pulmonary diseases, you know. So with Jamaica, we have a lot less proportionately than those countries. And remember, COVID-19 deaths usually are going to occur with people who are vulnerable. Like I said early on the show, we've had about 11 deaths here in Alligator Pond in the last 2-3 weeks, and none of them was from COVID-19. Yeah,
right. So you would say that in general, now, I know you're not a doctor, you would argue that the Jamaican population in general is less vulnerable.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt, because we're less stressed here, eat better, and we're healthier people.
Excellent. So I won't take any more of your time. I appreciate the call, and I want to leave it up, you know, for other people to chat to you and call. You've answered my question. I appreciate it.
It was a very important call, and I welcome calls like this and the perspective. And like I said, I am not a medical profession, but I can only give you my opinion. If anybody disagrees or agrees or would like to make an additional comment, thank you, caller. Appreciate your calling
in. Excellent.
And very important. And, you know, folks, that's what this station is all about. It's about listening to other people's perspective and listening to the questions and maybe give an answer and maybe put a question in your head about this whole thing. And if you'd like to participate tonight, just remember the number is 661-467-2407. And if you want to talk to me, just press 1 on your phone. Yardness, I guess the government is watching to see if there's an outbreak on the North Coast. Hey, I would agree with that. That's a very important point, Yardness, that you make. And, you know, Maurice, I keep telling you to the petition, do letters and have business owners. And you know what? That's why I'm being a little bit patient. That's why after this whole thing gets, you know, this period of the visitors coming in, when everything comes in and if it does not affect our hospitals, if it does not affect the resources that we have, I have full confidence. And folks, I've said this before, I'm of the opposition party, but I will commend Prime Minister Andrew Holness and Honorable Minister Christopher Tufton, Minister of Health, for how they've handled this whole COVID-19 thing. I definitely commend them for that so far. I just have a problem now with the direction in which we're going, and I will concede that maybe they have some data and information that I don't have, but I can only speak from what I'm seeing out there, compare it with studying statistics and probability and sampling of tests and stuff. I do believe that right now the government and the Prime Minister already knows that there's no threat in opening up the eco-community tourism areas of Jamaica, which is what I'm an advocate for. So that is the reason you will see me come on and harp about this every week. And folks, people say you talk about it all the time, okay? And yes, I do. And people say, well, why? Because when the beaches were closed in Jamaica, I petitioned a lot of you out there, and as Yardis has said, let's go with, you know, Connie has said, let's go with petitioning. I asked a lot of you to email the office of the Prime Minister. 1,300 of you did. 1,300 of you did. Okay? The Prime Minister, in his press conference, said he received 3,000 emails. So if by calculation, my listeners and people who agreed and went ahead and tried to support me in my belief, wrote in, 1/3 of the people did. Okay? So it's a situation, folks, where we can do it through a petition. And Yarnis, you're right, Connie, you're right. Okay? But I have confidence that in another couple of weeks or so, the Prime Minister and this government is probably going to start opening us up over here as well. I just want to be proactive in my request and say, hey, let's open it up. I want to bring to him and others the perspective that I have right now. That's why I'm asking you all to petition the Prime Minister and Connie Yardis. I definitely think, yes, maybe we need to get a petition going, but I'm going to wait till Friday when the Prime Minister speaks and next Monday and see what he says. Because the fact is, folks, what we have opened up And Yardness, we don't particularly want to go on the North Coast to mingle right now. I have no problem going to the North Coast to mingle. You know why? Because I mingle here in Alligator Pond. 80% of the people. Hey, even today, right here at Sea Rim, we had about 5 guests that were from over on the North Coast. Okay? So, and this is an ongoing thing. So internally, we can still have visitors here, and it's working out just fine. And folks, according to the government statistics, here in Alligator Pond, we have zero cases. So on that basis is what I'm saying, that there's no reason to open up what we're opening up right now and not open up the South Coast, or not open up the rest of Jamaica, not open up with attraction. I'm not saying to do it without restriction. I agree with the restriction. I agree with the COVID-19 precautions. Right here at my bar, we have a sanitizing station. We set up so that if people are going to stay here, they're separated from themselves, and they're not violating the rules, so the virus will not spread. But we were not even given a chance over here on the South Coast to do that when the Prime Minister announced what he did, and that's where I have a problem. Certify us. Come in, inspect our property, and say, okay, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do. We do it, we're free and clear, as we got about 28 minutes left on this show tonight. Thank you, Yardness, you're making the right move. It's about a move in some sense, but it's about what's right for the people of Jamaica, and that's what eco-community tourism is. We talked to you a little bit about that today, folks. We look at Alligator Pond River today. Chills, cold chills came to me as I watched the families and the fathers with their children enjoying, despite the fact that 90% of them may be out of a job right now and can't even afford to provide for their children, but they still made it a day to hang out with their children. We were so busy here today that yours truly, who is in the beach and the water 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day, was not able to go to the beach until about an hour before this show tonight. And I'm retired with a fixed income. So here are people who don't have an income still found a day to come enjoy. Don't take that away from us. You take that away from us, we will have no choice but to rebel. So once again, if you want to talk about this, call in on 661, and I thank you for the call so far, and I see the many comments coming in on Facebook right now. And thank you for joining me, Pauline, True, Andrea. Hope can't say too much. Only crocodiles and alligator pond. Yes, that's true. We don't have any alligators, but even the crocodiles and alligator pond, you will hardly ever see them because they won't come where humans are for the most part. So, folks, eco-community tourism is what this show is about. The Jamaica South Coast is what this show is about. So why am I spending so much time on COVID-19? Because it is affecting us. It is affecting what we do every day. It's affecting our ability to earn an income. It's affecting the fish that's being sold in Alligator Pond. It's affecting Sea Rib. I have customers in the United States of America right now that would want to come here and stay here, and they don't know if they can do it. I have Patricia over there in Texas. I have Nicole over there in Pennsylvania. I have my brothers and sisters in Florida, in New York, that wants to come to Jamaica, but they want to come over here. And you're COVID-19 free. So what is eco-community tourism, and how does the decision of the government affect it? Well, if you're only going to open up these special privileged hotels on the North Coast and the attractions are not open, you're affecting negatively about 90% of this population. And Prime Minister Holness, this is not a threat, but it is just an advice. I see where EOJ, Electoral Office of Jamaica, is gearing up and starting. There's rumors out there about an election this year coming in August or October or November or December. I caution this administration that we are going to take note. And we here on the South Coast can tip the scales, because the last election, remember, you only won by one seat. I don't have a problem with you being my prime minister the next time round. I really don't, even though I'm part of the opposition, because I don't think you've been doing such a bad job. What I have a problem with is how we're now handling this COVID-19 thing. COVID-19, folks, from all indications, are here to stay for a while. So we as a population have to find a way to work with it. And if we don't gradually get our people back to earning a living, whether it be through the all-inclusives like you're doing right now, or through eco-community tourism, where the communities are sustainable, they can take care of their own communities. Don't get that done, we're going to have starvation and we're going to have a higher crime rate. So listen up and listen good. From people here in Jamaica, not people from abroad. And not that I don't recognize the people from abroad right now. I do. What I'm asking you to do is to just understand that what I'm seeing here in Jamaica right now is a restless population who does not like the idea of what's opening up, why they're not allowed to make a living, and why they're not allowed to have a party, and why they're not allowed to go to the beach, and why they're not allowed to enjoy our own resources while everybody else coming in can. So with that, folks, I just want to leave that thought with you, okay? Yeah, let's focus on preparing the South. My granddaughter just asked me today about alligator fun. Yeah, let's bring her over here to alligator fun. We have nice rooms over here at Speed Rip, and there's other places, and we would love to accommodate. Okay? Remember, even though there's restrictions, as Jamaicans, there's no problem with us traveling internally to other hotels within the country. So, here in Alligator Fun at Sea Rave, we'd be more than happy to accommodate anybody. As a matter of fact, we have to focus more on eco-community tourism. Fortunately, it does not exclude us Jamaicans. So, we encourage our Jamaicans from Kingston, St. Catherine, Montego Bay, St. James, after you're done dealing with all them tourists that you have to take care of now that we're opened up. Come over for a weekend, man. We'll take good care of you over here on the South Coast. Eat up some fish, steam some fish, and make us some famine. Right here at Sea River, we have to Ronnie and Anne-Marie, and they'll take good care of you. Okay? So don't worry about that thing, Yardis. Just tell her it's all right. Okay? Come on over. We're safe. We got nice clean rooms here. We got a nice bar. We got a large yard space. So even though river was packed full today, we maintained our no gathering because of our private property. Okay, so don't feel no way. Come on over. All right. Appreciate the comment. All right. So folks, we got about 21 minutes left in this show tonight, and then I'm going back to my bartending. Well, I'm not actually a bartender, I'm actually a bartender. But at the same time, if you know anybody that's looking for a bartender job here in Alligator Pond by the river, we might have an opening. So, you know, let them know. So, folks, that's the position on COVID-19 tonight. That's where I stand on COVID-19. If you have a question or a concern, if you're in the United States of America, it's not going to cost you any money to call 661-467-2407. We've had a couple of calls tonight. We've had several comments here on, you know, on the Facebook live show. So now I'm going to take and see the comments. I'm getting a lot of Happy Father's Day comments on my personal timeline, but I'm not seeing anything. Just remember, folks, you can join in right now if you'd like to, and you can ask a question, make a comment, okay? And just say something if you'd like to, and be able to participate in the show. Once again, it's 661-467-2407, okay? I thank everybody that's joined in. I'm going to take a brief break here and maybe go to a little bit of music for a little bit so that I can, you know, drink a little bit of water or something, okay? But it's good to see how many people join us here tonight on this show and to express their opinions. If you have something that you'd like to say, very welcome to your comments, okay? So basically speaking, folks, let me just bring to you a little bit of a, you know, break here with the music from Chronix, one of my favorite artists.
From me looking at my face, you see a de la vegan. Well, I take a Max and Glazer and Chief Federation. Strictly roots and culture play for nice station. Yo, yeah, yeah, me Latino youth, them and all the money promoter. We are doing it, see the dance done, Ram ready. Spain Town original. And my neighbors think cut over Spanish Town Hospital. To me, mama name, Nana Spanish Town original. And my papa name, Kaneko Spanish Town original. And my granny name, Peggy Spanish Town original. Them call her Sticka, cause she don't normal. We are grandson, Kaneko such a field marshal. If I dance at school, we are the principal. And now we are the real microphone. Official, give them a new style. A Sperling and a me goodie, some well physical. Well, I'm a free proper chronic microphone official. Me read me Bible every day, I some well biblical. I meditate in the morning, some well spiritual. I said original chronic representing from prison over live and die.
And I thank Chronic very much for that little bit of a clip there. This is, you know, this is about Jamaica, folks. This is where it's Spanish Town, Alligator Pond, Montego Bay, St. James. The Jamaica South Coast show is about the South Coast, but it's more about eco-community tourism. And eco-community tourism has got to do a lot about the country in general. I am asking and welcoming anybody that wants to call in. Let me take a little break here to tell you that you're listening to the Caribbean Radio Show. And on Facebook, it is crsradio.com. And of course, this is the Jamaica South Coast Show. And I'm broadcasting to you live from Alligator Pond, Manchester. So what we're going to talk about is Alligator Pond for a little bit, okay? Because this is part of the South Coast. This is where I live. And just so that you know a little bit of a history is, I was actually born in Kingston, but at the age of 4, my dad got a job here in Alligator Pond by Port Kaiser, working on, you know, the ships as they came in to take the bauxite and out to countries like Canada and the United States of America. He became a trade union activist, and he brought me down here. I lived in Alligator Pond for about 4 or 5 years. From there, I moved to New Forest, and from New Forest to Duff House, all within 5 miles of each other. Then from Duff House, I moved to Ballard's Valley, and then my dad completed the house in Lititz on the Manchester side of Lititz, and then we moved into our house finally. So this is the area in which I grew up, and 42 years later, after migrating to the United States of America, I took my retirement early and I returned here to live in Alligator Pond because I just love living by the sea. I took up occupancy here at Sea Rev It's a guest house, Alligator Farm, by the river. And this guest house, there's a room that was my own special room, and I was able to get it and stay there. And then finally got into an agreement with the owner of the property for me to actually take over the property with a partner starting July 1st. Okay. In the meantime, open up a bar here. So it's like my sister said today, I'm really realizing my dreams. I'm by the sea. I get up in the mornings and I look out and I'm looking at the sea. Okay. I get my coffee in the morning and I sit out there and I'm looking at the sea and the river. We have a river here that starts out, it starts out with the rainfall in the hills, and then it goes underground and it surfaces about 3 miles upstream from here, and it comes out into a river and then it flows out in the sea here. So it makes it such a great spot. Everybody that's come here today, they just can't believe that this spot is as nice as it is, but yet it is still unknown. And that's what eco-community tourism is all about. It's getting people to come to areas of Jamaica where it's unknown, but gems, beautiful, much nicer in some cases than other touristy areas, but the community still survives and not have to change very much. So as a tourist, you become part of the community, you contribute financially to the community, but you also learn and you take back a lot about the true culture of Jamaica. Good feeling from all. We show you the real part of Jamaica, what Jamaica really is, and you take back the education and you spread the word, and that's called sustainable eco-community tourism. So we have about 13 minutes left on this show. Dr. Ev, I am so getting sick and tired of you with your red stripe joke. When I said I was taking a water break, folks, Dr. Ev said, me no water mean red stripe. Okay, yes, water mean red stripe. Everybody that knows me know that I'm a red stripe fanatic. I just love red stripe beer. I've always been, as a matter of fact, I'm being called stripey now for some reason or the other. So, folks, tonight's show was, and as we get a lot more clearances and a lot more leeway, for example, it's now 9:18 p.m. here in Jamaica. Fortunately, I'm reporting from my home, which is Sea Rim. And the thing is that as soon as we get the curfews lifted, I will now be able to broadcast from other areas. Fortunately, last week I was able to broadcast live from Negril, because Misty Memphis from Capital of Casual Negril, a group on Facebook, she offered me a bedroom to stay in. So we broadcast live and I had her as a guest on the show. As restrictions lift, folks, I'm going to be traveling the country, especially the South Coast, and I'm going to be bringing to you eco-community tourism from the South Coast, okay? So and on the North Coast occasionally as well, because eco-community tourism can also be also effective on the North Coast just as much as the South Coast. But my emphasis will be on the South Coast. For example, we have Milk River up the road. We have Lover's Leap. I want to report to you from Lover's Leap one evening. I want to report to you from Great Bay Treasure Beach. I want to report to you from Noisy River up in Manchester. I want to report to you from Mandeville one day. I want to report to you from Clarendon. Stephanie would like that very much. Okay, I want to report to you from St. Catherine. I want to report to you from St. Thomas. I want to report to you live and maybe have some guest artists on the show to be able to share their experiences and what, you know, eco-community tourism is all about. And you know what? I'm tired of when Dr. Evan Yardis kind of get together and start on me with this red stripe thing. Say that again. He never had much today. LOL. If you ever knew how much I had today, you would not be talking. Big up stripe. Go on, a drink of white rum on the rock. Hey, Dr. Evan, to be honest with you, you're not going to like white rum after you try the rum punch that I made today, and my customers here at Sea Rib is going to be trying it because it's getting great reviews. I took a bottle of it down to Unigra last week, and it was gone in like 5 minutes. And all they said to me is, don't come back here in Unigra anymore unless you bring the rum punch with you. And of course, yes, I use the white rum, make it said way. So, yes, we're going to have stuff. And you know what, folks? I'm asking you guys to, you know, as these restrictions get lifted, consider coming over here and Alligator Pond. Consider coming to this community. You don't have to come to this business. You can go to any business that you want, okay, any guest house or whatever. But consider coming to this hidden gem, and I caution you, when you do, though, just don't come over here and try to change the way we live. Eco-community tourism is about accepting communities for the way they are and become adjusted to the communities and still have a great time. And everybody that I've brought over here so far at the conclusion that they could not have much of a better time, and that's because they just let their hair down, they relaxed, and they just enjoyed it. We have a couple here at Sea Rib, you know, Durrani and Marie, and they take such good care of this property. The rooms are impeccably clean, and, you know, looking forward to some of you coming to visit us here sometime soon. Okay? Folks, with that said, we have about 8 minutes left on this show here tonight. I thank the callers for calling. I thank you for the many comments on Facebook tonight and the different responses from people out there tonight and the responses that I had during the week as well with regards to the COVID-19. And I am so sorry that on this show we've had to have covered almost every week COVID-19. But the reason I cover COVID-19, folks, is because it really and truly is affecting us in the eco-community tourism business, not just as a business, but the culture. And if we really and truly care for the people of Jamaica and how Jamaicans survive and live, you would also take that up as a topic. When you come to Jamaica, try to visit us instead. One, spend a few days with us. Like Nicole, I thank you so much. Nicole is in Pennsylvania. She's coming in here. And she's determined to come spend 4 or 5 days over here on the South Coast with us. Patricia, I can't say enough the help and the support that you've given me, especially personally, with this venture here and your intentions to come spend 3 weeks here with us on the South Coast in December and possibly in August. So, you know, folks, these are people. You take Misty last week, for example, that was on the air with me. She is from Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee. Okay? Look her up on Capital of Casuals Negro, Mr. Memphis. She came from Tennessee and settled here in Jamaica. You've got people like Bertels Karina, who came from Belgium to settle here in Jamaica. Okay? They never intended to settle here in Jamaica. They came to Jamaica and fell in love with Jamaica and decided that Misty is actually going through her citizenship and is becoming a citizen of the country. And all I can say is welcome. Because if you go to Negril right now and you hook up with Misty, what you're going to find is somebody that's not going to take you on a 7 Mile beach. She might just for a little bit, but she's going to take you to the real Jamaican. Now, if somebody that can come in from abroad can do this, folks, then we as Jamaicans here in Jamaica and abroad can do the same thing. Instead of crowding the all-inclusives, let's introduce our visitors to what Jamaica really is like Alligator Pond, where we're 100% safe for the most part. A relaxed community. Everybody here lives like family. That is what eco-community tourism is all about. So, folks, I'm going to be wrapping up this show here tonight. Let me see if we have anything else going on out there on the switchboard tonight. We don't seem to have anybody else that has anything to say. So I'm going to probably finish up this show with some music here tonight. And I hope what I brought to you tonight was at least explanatory in my position. So I'm going to sum it up for you. Are Jamaica's figures accurate? I think not. I don't think the positives is 626. I think it's a whole lot more because only the tested is where we're getting results from, and I believe that in Jamaica we have a much, much higher population that has not been tested, that have been positive, did not show any symptoms, and recovered from the virus. That's number one. Number two, what impact is the way the data is being collected affecting the decisions being made? The data, I think, that's being collected is getting the government to say, okay, we're going to do A, B, and C, but the government is not telling us where we didn't actually collect all the data. So they're letting us believe that their data is correct and 100% based on what's going on in the country. I don't agree with that. Okay. Are there truly zero positive cases in most areas of Jamaica because it is zero, or because there is zero testing being done in these areas? Absolutely not. I believe that if some testing was done in areas in Jamaica that are showing zero, that Jamaica would start to show some more cases. Not that that is a bad thing, because what that says to me is that despite the fact that we have more cases in Jamaica than we actually think, guess what? They're not that serious, because nobody dying from it and nobody's going to the hospital from it. Okay? The move to open up the North Corridor from Niguel to Port Antonio. Yes, Mr. Prime Minister, good start, but I'm appealing to you to open up the South Coast as well. Okay? So, folks, with that said, tonight, this show is coming to an end. I'm going to leave you all with a nice little song from somebody that's from here, right here on the South Coast. Okay? And the reason I'm going to leave you with this singer is that she's Jane McGizmo, is because you may have known about Coffee, who won an Academy, won a Grammy. Well, the song that was, there's a lot of songs that Coffee sings that this particular artist, and she's, to me, people say she's the Rihanna of Jamaica. I say no, she's Jamaican and she has a little bit of Rihanna in her. So with that said, see you all next week as we wrap up this show tonight with Jane McGizmo, One Away. Love you all. Thank you for joining me tonight. Thanks for the many comments. Thanks for the call-in. Have a great night, folks. Good night.
I told you-